So we're recording this. I'm just mentioning to Tsuporo, who hasn't been here before, maybe I didn't mention it to Amy. We're recording this, and eventually it's supposed to be put on my website, ChabadResearch.net. So just the audio is put on the website, and like there's a separate file where a person can read the actual text. Okay, so we're going to now share the screen just to get the beginning of the Sedra of the week. If I can find it, here we are. Right. So this, can you see that by any chance? Wait a minute, it might take a moment. For some reason, there's a pause. Okay. So, can you see that text?
We can't.
No.
No, you can't see the text.
No.
Still not. One second.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
You could see it.
Right. Okay. Lovely. Okay, so hi, Eleanor. So this week, the Torah reading of the week, which is actually two sections together, two sidrot together, it begins, Atem nitzavim hayom kuchem. You are standing today, all of you, lifnei Hashem Elokechem, before the Lord your God. Rosheichem, Shivteichem, the heads of your tribe, Ziknechem, your elders, Veshoitrechem, your officers, Kol Ish Yisrael, every Jew, Tapchem, your children, Neshechem, your wives, Begercha, Asher, Kerev, Machanecha, the proselyte who is in your camp, Mechotev, Etzecha, the hewers of wood, Ad Shoeg, Memecha, till drawers of water, all kinds of people, la'ovrecha bevrit Hashem elokecha, to bring you together into a covenant with God of alato, asher Hashem elokecha koret imcha ayom, which God is making with you today, leman hokim otcha ayom, so that He should set you up today, lo for Him. La'am, for a people together. V'hu yiyeh lecha l'elokim, and He will be God for you. As He spoke to you previously, v'chashem yishba l'avotecha, as He took an oath to your ancestors, la'avraham li'yitzchak u'li'yakov, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now that's the beginning of the Seder of the week. It's a very stirring Sedra, and this idea of going through all these different kinds of people, it's as if the Jewish people has many different aspects to it. Leaders, hewers of woods, wood choppers, but they're all together. They're all unified together. And there is this sense of the unity of the Jewish people together. Now, that is the beginning of the Torah reading, and that is going to function as the key in the lock, which is going to open the door to this beautiful Hasidic teaching. So I'm now going to try to share with you that teaching. So first of all, I have to open it, and it's called Atem Nitzavim, begins with the very first verse, and I'm just opening it as a document, and then I can share the screen so that we get it together. Okay, so now I'm going to share the screen. So it might be everything moves slowly for some reason. Okay, so I think it's going to take a moment before we see it together. I got a new PDF reader, and I'm wondering if that slowed things up. Okay, are you able to see the screen now? Yes.
Yes, we can. Okay,
that's beautiful. Now, what we generally do, we haven't got Rabbi Lou here with us this evening, but what we generally do is we sing the melody of the discourse. There was a melody with which when the Lubavitcher Rebbe would say a discourse, there would be a melody. Or we'll take any melody. Ya 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 bamba ya yamba ya yo yaradam. Oh ya 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 ho ya 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 yaradam. Oh ya ha yaradam ba ho yamba ha yaradam ba yo ya ho yaradam bam bom. Oh, yamba ramba yamba yamba yom bom bom bom. Ha ya ramba ya ha yamba yom bom bom bom. Ha ya ramba ya ya yamba ya ho ya yam. Ha ya ha ya ho ya ya da damba. Ya da da ya 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 yamba ba yamba ya yamba ba. Ya da damba yamba yamba bum. Ho ya yam bum ba yam. Ho 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 ya ya ho ya ho ya da damba yom bum. Oh ya ha ya da damba. Oh ya 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 da damba. Oh ya, ho ya, yam bam boom. Now that melody is associated with the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Maharash, and in fact, this discourse is partly a discussion of a teaching by the Rebbe Maharash. So that was a fitting melody for what we're studying today. Now, so if we can. Have a look at the beginning. Right. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. These are the opening verses that we just read. You are standing today together, all of you, lifnei Hashem lekechem, before Hashem your God. Roshechem shifteichem gomer, your leaders, the heads of your tribes. Tapchem, your children. Neshechem, your wives. Mechotev etzecha, those who hew woods, and those v'shoev memecha, and those who draw water. Now, ve'ita b'likutei Torah, we learn in Likutei Torah. Now, Likutei Torah is a wonderful book with Hasidic teachings by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the founder of Chabad, who passed away in 1812. And his teachings were in manuscript, and they were then published a few decades later in 1848. And so it says there, Sheparsha zu korin le'olam kodim Rosh Hashanah. This parsha, this sedra that we have this week, is always read before the new year, before Rosh Hashanah. Umahumaz, and it hints at, B'milat hayom, with the word hayom. You see, it says, Atem nitzavim hayom, you are standing today. And the hint of that word today, B'kae al Rosh Hashanah. The hint is that when it says the word hayom, it actually means on Rosh Hashanah. You're standing today on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Someone is asking something? No. Why is the link from the word hayom, because the word today, because in the Rosh Hashanah liturgy, because in the Rosh Hashanah liturgy, which is in the Machzor, in the prayer book for Rosh Hashanah, it says Ze hayom tchilat ma'asecha. This today is the beginning of your works. Zikaron liyom rishon, the memory of the first day. So Rosh Hashanah is the memory of the first day, and it's called hayom. Now, exactly which first day is slightly ambiguous, because there's the first day of the creation of the universe, and there's the first day, a few days later, the sixth day of creation, creation of Adam, and generally Rosh Hashanah is understood as the creation of Adam, Adam and Eve. But in order to have Adam and Eve, one had to have the whole process of creation, which began on the 25th of Elul. So today, tonight, is going to be the 20th of Elul, so 5 days' time, it'll be the 25th of Elul, the anniversary of the beginning of creation, the first day of creation. And then we have on Rosh Hashanah itself, next Shabbat, that's in 9 days' time or so, 10 days' time, it will be actual Rosh Hashanah, the anniversary of the creation of Adam and Eve. Now, V'chein kotev ha-tzemach tzedek b'or ha-Torah. Now, the Tzemach Tzedek, he's the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he, you see, we have the first Lubavitcher Rebbe passed away 1812, then there's the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, third Lubavitcher Rebbe. Our Rebbe was the seventh Rebbe. So we're reading a teaching. We're looking at a teaching by the seventh Rebbe, but he refers back to the earlier teachers. So the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe, writes in his book, Or HaTorah. Now, Or HaTorah is a book in many, many volumes. I'm not quite sure how many, maybe 30, 35 volumes, which are the manuscripts that when the Tzemach Tzedek passed away. Hi, Gloria. Lovely seeing you.
Hi, Tali.
So when the Tzemach Tzedek, whose name was Menachem Mendel, incidentally, he lived around 1850, passed away 1866. So when he passed away, thousands of pages of manuscripts that he'd written were found, and some were about halacha, and they published that. Those are the responsa of the Tzemach Tzedek, very famous halachic work in several volumes, and also many, many volumes of Hasidic teachings. So the Hasidic teachings are called in general, as the whole set is called Or HaTorah. So it says there, a very interesting thing. Kaba Midrash, that we learn in the Midrash. Atuv Atem Nitzavim Hayom, that these words, you are standing firm today, it should have been at the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Devarim. See, the book of Devarim is Moses talking to the Jewish people, like a kind of pep talk, before, like a long series of pep talks, before they go into the land of Israel. So it says in the Midrash that our Sedra, which is really near the end of the book of Deuteronomy, could have been at the beginning. It would have been fitting for it to be at the beginning. Ela, the only thing is, she'ein mukdam u'mu'ucha b'Torah. There's no serial order in the Torah. It's not in chronological order. So, and Mosif, and he adds, v'yesh lomar, but one can suggest, the afa pichein, even so, ma shenema atem nitzavim, the fact that it says you are standing, the beginning of our Seder, Karov Sof Sefer Mishneh Torah, near the end of our book of Deuteronomy, Harezeh Gam Mitam Anal. Really, it's got the same reason. In fact, so whether it could have been at the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy when Moses begins speaking to the Jewish people, but the fact that it's here at the end is also meaningful. And that's because it is coming up to Rosh Hashanah. So let's miss out the brackets. And we're now on line 16. Ki hayom taya Rosh Hashanah. Since the word today means Rosh Hashanah. Ze hayom tchilat ma'asecha. This is the day, the beginning of your works. ולכן הפרשה נכתבה בעניין שתהיה נקחית לפני ראש השנה. So therefore, this bit of the Torah is put there just close to Rosh Hashanah. The Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah, we read this section about you are standing there together. Let's miss out the brackets. Right. So now we're going to try. So that's, we began off with the Seder of the week. The idea of everyone standing together, being unified together, all the different people, very, very different one from the other, but we're all unified and we're together. Now that could have been at the beginning of the whole book of Deuteronomy, but in fact it's over here near the end, because it wants to be, or God wants it to be, before Rosh Hashanah. Now we come to Rosh Hashanah. What is the meaning of Rosh Hashanah? Now everyone's able to say, of course, it's a new year. Rosh Hashanah is a new year. But we're going to see some further perspectives. At this point, would anyone like to say what is Rosh Hashanah? And we'll see if any of your perspectives come up in the discourse. What is Rosh Hashanah? Nicole?
Since when do I speak in public?
Why not? What would you say Rosh Hashanah is?
Time for reflection.
Sorry?
A time for reflection.
A time for reflection. That's beautiful. That's very beautiful. And Ruth, what would you suggest?
When we crown Hashem as our king.
That's very beautiful. Yes. Crowning our king, Hashem, as our king, recognizing the kingship of God. Recognizing the kingship of God, that crowning, that step of dedication to the divine. Zipporah, would you like to add?
Yom HaDin, maybe?
Right, a day of judgment, when we're being judged. Simcha?
Yeah, I think that it's an incredible opportunity. You know, we crown Hashem king, but I think by our devotion and our accepting him as king, that we can draw down tremendous, tremendous brachas by doing that. And it's in our hands.
Right. So that's a very interesting double perspective. On the one hand, we crown Hashem as king, in the sense we're like reaching upwards and recognizing God's infinite kingship. And on the other hand, we're drawing, and there's the concept of judgment there as well, like Zipporah says. But then we draw down blessings into the world and life force and energy. Gloria, would you like to add anything?
I think it's a sense of renewal.
Right. Renewal. That's a
very renewal of our peoplehood with God.
That's beautiful. Right. Okay. So all these are very meaningful concepts. Every one of you is right. You know, that is a dimension of Rosh Hashanah in all of them. And let's see which ones come up in this discourse, because there are many discourses about Rosh Hashanah and about the blowing of the shofar. And, you know, very often one discourse focuses on this and another one on that. So let's see how we go with this one. So now we're looking at line 21, near the end of this page. Ba'inyan b'zeh, now what this is, k'yadua, as is known, sheb'Rosh Hashanah chozrim kol ha'dvarim l'kadmutam. On Rosh Hashanah, everything goes back to its source. So there's a pulse of life force coming from God into the world. But then, before Rosh Hashanah, it withdraws to its source, and somehow it has to be renewed. So the whole idea of renewal comes from that. It's renewed, this flow of life force is renewed. Utzrichim laham shicha mechadash. We have to draw it down anew. Next page, page Vav, line one. Ki yadur shorosh Hashanah nikcha tchilat ma'asecha. And that's why Rosh Hashanah is called the beginning of your works, emphasizing the renewal dimension. וכללות העם שכה מחדש, and in general, how this new flow, nifelet, takes place, על ידי זה שאתם ניצבים היום כולכם, by the fact that you are all standing together today, כולכם, דייקה, all of you, the unity of the Jewish people, לאחדים כאחד, line 4, unified like one, ובאופן דניצבים, in a way of standing firm, קיימים בעומדים, standing, והיינו שזוכים בדין, and that means, what does it mean that we're standing there? We're successful in the judgment. Yes, it's the day of judgment, but we are successful in the judgment. Now that's a very Jewish thing. We have this close connection with the divine, that we're approaching the day of judgment. And the spiritual teachings that we have from great leaders like the Lubavitcher Rebbe about it, and from the Talmud as well, is that, you know what? You're going to be successful in the judgment. It's all going to be good. And God is going to look with a very favorable eye. Of course, everyone is a very nice person. There are no flaws in them. But even if one would imagine there was something or other, a missed opportunity or something like that, God is going to look with a favorable eye and we're going to be successful in judgment. So that's the role of our teachers and leaders, to encourage us with a positive perspective on what is happening. Now, I have a dear friend who was brought up in a non-Hasidic community, and very religious, very learned. And he told me of the absolute feeling of fear, people worrying, what kind of terrible judgment is there gonna be? Oh, it's awful, I've sinned. Oy. And you know, a real sense of painful awareness of divine judgment. And he began to come in contact with Chabad Hasidic teachings. And he said, it's such a striking difference, this positive attitude. Yes, it's true, it is a day of judgment. But on the other hand, the affirmation from the side of the inner dimension of Torah is that we're going to be lifted up, we're going to be elevated, it's going to be good. And anything negative is going to be dissolved away, or it's going to be transformed into something positive. There's an incredible page in the Talmud, in Tractate Yuma, which talks about Yom Kippur, and it talks about the power of repentance. And it says that there is a power in repentance, it can transform deliberate transgressions into mitzvah. It can make a complete transformation. An incredible idea. So there's this kind of perspective which is in these Hasidic teachings. So we are standing firm, which means shezochim b'din, that we are successful in judgment. And there's a very interesting idea, shezohi birchato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the blessing of the Holy One, bless me. B'Shabbat Mevorchim HaChodesh HaShvi'i, on the day, on this coming Shabbat. If it was any other month in the year, this Shabbat, there would be a special ceremony where the rabbi takes the Torah scroll or the chazan and says a beautiful blessing for the coming month. So every other month of the year we do that. But throughout the Jewish community, we don't do it this month. And an explanation is given by the Hasidic sages. The reason why we don't bless the month is because this month, God blesses the month. He gives us a special blessing. God is giving us a special blessing. So that is something that was taught from Rabbi Shneur Zalman, who heard it from his teacher, Rabbi Dov Ber de Magid of Mezrich, And he heard it in the name of his teacher, the Baal Shem Tov, so that there is this tremendous sense of a gushing of blessing that's taking place this Shabbat, this coming Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah, that we will, if we're not able to be in the synagogue, we can't be in the synagogue. But spiritually, we are there standing together and God is blessing the whole Jewish people. But Adla often the Nitzavim, so much more that the word Nitzavim also means, but not only standing, but Milashon Nitzav Melech. Now there's a phrase in the Tanakh, in the Bible, in the Chumash, that Nitzav Melech, that there is a like a kind of a regent. A regent was the king. So the word Nitzav means regency, means rule. Just as a king in before the French Revolution, just as a king ruled over everyone, without anyone preventing him doing what he wants to do, in such a way that if the king says, then the mountain moves. Just with his words, without any effort. You are standing in the same way, but often the Nitzav Melech, you've got this regal quality. You are master of everything. And you are able to achieve the flow of all these spiritual flows which take place from anew, lo yegia klal, without any effort, and besimcha uvetuv levav, with joy and with a happy heart. Now this is a very, very striking idea that we, the Jewish people, are empowered on this day of Rosh Hashanah and of this day of the coming Shabbat, the Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah. We've got this tremendous spiritual power. Now you could ask, why is it that the Jewish people have got this spiritual power? What about the rest of the world? The thing is that in existence, there are different levels and they all interconnect. And they all have a responsibility towards each other. And the role of the Jewish people is to have the Torah and the teachings of the Torah, and together with that come a whole lot of extra rules that other people don't have. But those rules are because we have this special responsibility that we are given the Torah, and not only are we given the Torah, we are given the special relationship with the divine to be able to, in this instance, draw down this flow of energy for the new year, which according to the Talmud and Hasidic teaching is actually for the benefit of the whole of humanity. So what we are empowered to do is draw down this spiritual energy, and that energy is going to come to the Jewish people, to the land of Israel, to the temple in Jerusalem, and from there it is going to spread over the entire world. And as the Talmud comments, when it's discussing the role of the temple in terms of the whole fabric of humanity, it says that if people, humanity as a whole, would have realized what the temple is doing for them, instead of destroying it, they would have put guards around it to protect it. But nonetheless, although there aren't, they didn't do that, and instead certain people destroyed the temple, and the temple is still basically in ruins. But nonetheless, the spiritual power of the temple continues, and now that we're coming to Rosh Hashanah, there is this tremendous input that we are empowered to give in the whole structure of existence.
Ali?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you make a distinction? We approach Hashem, we crown him as king. And it's a very awesome kind of issue. How do we blend in the fact that he's our father? He's the father of each of us. We crown him king, but we want to express our love to him in a way we want no a soft judgment, a gentle judgment. How do we combine the two that, A, he's a king, and B, that our love for him, and we're trying to induce his gentleness, his love for all of us. How do we combine those two?
Right. Would anyone like to suggest an answer to Simcha's very interesting point?
Can you repeat the question again?
Simcha is asking, he's saying, look, on the one hand, we're relating to God as king. But on the other hand, we call him our father. Our father is very gentle with us. So a king is seemingly like distant and rules with a stern judgment, whereas a father is closer and very loving. So how do we combine the two, Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king?
I think it's about respect as well as love, mutual respect. The child for the father and also the father for the child. Without mutual respect, things would fall apart.
That's a very interesting.
Yes.
That's a very
well. We could say that really, Hashem is our king, and he rules the world. However, if we didn't comply to all that we were supposed to do, perhaps Hashem should look at us as a child, and have this compassion for us, and love for us, and judge us as a father rather than as a ruler.
Yeah. I mean that these are very profound ideas. We have a double relationship with God. So and this phrase Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king, is actually one of the prayers said in the synagogue on Rosh Hashanah, except it's not said on Shabbat. So this year it'll only be said on Sunday. So our father, our king. Avinu Malkeinu, Asei imonu tzedaka v'chesed. Asei imonu tzedaka v'chesed v'hoshienu. Do with us, our Father and King, do with us. Deal with us in a way of charity and kindness and save us. So you've put your finger on the point that it's a matter of the kindness, the love of God. Even though we might have messed up, we might have done something wrong, we might have left out important things we should have done, we might have positively done something we shouldn't have done. And nonetheless, God supports us and loves us like a parent loves a child, even though there's a memory from my childhood. I wasn't actually there when it happened, but it was described to me so vividly that I can never forget it. A friend of mine, his mother was a descendant of a Hasidic Rebbe. Very, very lovely lady. Long ago passed away, but very wonderful lady. And a whole lot of friends were around at my friend's house. And he had seen on TV a trick that you lay the tablecloth on the table and put cups and glasses and saucers and a decanter, you know, on the table. And then you pull the tablecloth and all the things remain standing on the table. So he's gonna do this. And there's the tablecloth and all the cups, glasses and stuff. And he pulls the tablecloth and everything smashes on the ground. And his mother appears. His name is Mori, very old friend of mine. She said, Mori, why? why do you do it? Like no anger, you know, everything's been smashed on the ground. You know, so to me that like typifies the parent and the child. I'm not sure what his father said a little bit later on. That was not communicated to me and might have been a bit different. But what his mother said. So that's really this double relationship with God. And if I remember correctly, this prayer, Avinu Malkeinu, was invented by Rabbi Akiva in the Talmud. It was a time that there was no rain, and Rabbi Akiva went up to the ark and he opened the ark and he said, Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king, please help us. And it began to rain. So it's an ancient prayer from the Talmud, and now it's got a whole lot of different lines. It's a very special thing. So what the Rebbe is saying here is that we have this amazing sense of empowerment. I mean, here it doesn't mention the idea of Avinu, our father, but we nonetheless have that relationship with the divine. We have that relationship that God is not only our king, he's also our father. Okay, now I must mention that while something is being shared on the screen, I'm not able to see the chat. So if someone wanted to communicate something to me, you'll have to say it, because the chat thing is not visible for some reason. Now, so we are now at chapter 2 on page Vav. V'yuvan, now this will be understood. Al pi ha-mavor b'mayim ha-parshat nitzavim shnat taf resh kaf tes. By considering the discourse at the Rebbe Maharash, remember I mentioned that we sang the melody, and it was a melody of the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe. His name was Shmuel, and all Shmuels should be well. And so there is this chapter, Nitzavim. Now he said a discourse in the year 1869. Now 1869 was 100 years before this discourse that we're studying was said in 1969. And it said there was a discourse which began Tiku b'chodesh shofar, at the beginning of the month, blow the shofar. And he points out that tzarech lahavim, we have to understand lama k'tiv stam Tiku b'chodesh. Why does it say blow at the month? V'lo k'tiv be'ezer chodesh. It doesn't say which month. He should have said blow in the seventh month, because that's where we have the mitzvah of blowing the shofar. So what is it saying without saying which month? The point is, dehine chodesh hu lashon hitchadshut, as you said, Gloria. The word chodesh, new, means renewal. We're emphasizing renewal. And that's why Rosh Hashanah is just called Chodesh, new. The feature of Rosh Hashanah mitchadeshet, because on Rosh Hashanah, achayut, the life force, haklalit, the general life force, is renewed lichlalut haolamot for all the worlds. There are many worlds. There's the world we can see, and there are many spiritual worlds beyond. And so on Rosh Hashanah, the life force for all those worlds is renewed. Al kol hashanah, for the entire year to come. Ki achayut harishona istalkalim korah. Because the original life force of last year goes back to its source. Now you might say, if it goes back to its source, so why doesn't the universe disappear? So in another discourse, it explains it goes back to its source. This life force is an inner life force. And when that inner life force goes back to its source, it's as if the universe is in some sense asleep. It's still moving. Everything's happening. Yes, the sun, moon, and stars are moving. The plants are growing. You know, things are happening. But it's like when a person is asleep. There are all kinds of bodily functions which are still working. And even you can sometimes talk to a person when they're asleep, you know, and they answer you, you know, where are the keys to the car? And the person can answer, but they're still asleep. and or partly asleep. So that's what the world is like. Then there comes a new burst of energy into the world through the blowing of the shofar and through the prayers as well, through the intensity of the prayer. And so that brings this new energy. So the life force from the previous year goes back to its source. Over Rosh Hashanah and on Rosh Hashanah itself, Mamshichim Chayut Klalit Michadash Al Kol Hashanah. We draw down a new life force for the whole year. So that's what the Rebbe Maharash, the Rebbe Reb Shmuel, explains in this beautiful discourse. But we still have to understand how does the whole concept of the kingship of God relate to this? You see, we've got two elements here. One is we've got the idea that on Rosh Hashanah there's a new flow of life force coming down. And on the other, we've got the idea that we recognize God as king. So how exactly do those two fit together? And as I understand this discourse, that's what it's trying to explain. And if we manage to understand that together, that will be something very positive. Let's see if we manage. So what's the connection between the idea of kingship on Rosh Hashanah? Now, how do we know kingship is important? As the saying of our sages, may their memory be for a blessing. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One said, blessed be He, said as follows. Imru lefanai, say before me, malchuyot, verses about kingship, Barosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, kedei shetamlichuni aleichem, so that you should make me rule over you. So how does that connect with the bringing of new life force? Ba'al zem avai b'maimah, and about this, it says in the discourse of Reb Shmuel, she'ike inyan itchadshut, the main renewal, hu b'sfirat ha-malchut, is in the attribute of kingship, which is the 10th sphira. So that means there are different sfirot, and the 10th sfira is the sfira of kingship, the feminine. And that's where the renewal is really taking place. V'yesh lohosif, and one can add, shezeo gam mashe katuf, that's also what it says, a verse, b'divrei ayamim, in the Book of Chronicles. It says there, chodesh ishto. Now, chodesh means month, but it's also a name. And it's talking there in that part of the Book of Chronicles, it's talking about the descendants of Benjamin. There was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and one of Jacob's sons is Benjamin. This part of the Book of Chronicles is discussing the descendants of Benjamin. And the funny thing about the Book of Chronicles is that it gives lots of names of wives. Other parts of the Tanakh, it very often does not mention the name of the wife. Sometimes it does. But in the Book of Chronicles, it seems very careful. It always mentions who is the wife. And it says, his wife, and her name was Chodesh. His wife, Chodesh, gave birth to so-and-so. So that's her name, Chodesh, right? Month. Interesting name. A kind of modern name, like moon, month. So she was called Chodesh. But the Kabbalah picks this up and it says, Chodesh Ishto, the month, his wife, month. So that puts together, Shebezem Rumas, and that hints, She'iket Chatshut Chodesh, the main renewal, who besfirat HaMalchut, is in the attribute kingship, his wife. So the attribute kingship is the feminine. So we call that the wife, and the renewal is happening in the wife. The feminine represents renewal. That's a change, like the moon, which is renewed every month. that quality of change in the feminine is actually something mystical and highly spiritual and very powerful. Okay, are there any points anyone wants to raise? See, normally if I wasn't sharing a screen, I would be able to see if someone put a question in the chat, but I can't see the chat without stopping to share the screen, which is the whole business. So if anyone's got a comment, please voice it.
Does it mean the rebirth, perhaps?
Sorry?
The fact that the link of the feminine with the kingship, this suggests rebirth, perhaps. When you said that the world goes to sleep before Rosh Hashanah and then is renewed and wakes up, then the feminine aspect of kingship might suggest rebirth. Is that possible?
I agree with you 100%. That's exactly what it's about, Rory. Yeah, yeah. That is it. So it's renewal and rebirth. Tzipora, you want to say something?
No. Thank you very much. I'm really inspired.
Okay. Okay, so if you want to say something, don't be shy.
Okay.
Now. Let's just see where we are. Right. Now that's line 16 on page 9. It continues in the discourse. That means the discourse of Rav Shmuel of 100 years before this discourse was said, 1869. It continues in the discourse. Should tzarich la'avin, that we have to understand why is the main renewal in the attribute kingship? There are 10 svirot. Why shouldn't the renewal be in wisdom, in kindness? Why in kingship? Now it's explained previously. Everything. Not only the attribute kingship. We have to draw them down anew. And the reason for this is the fisha hu yitbarech, because God Himself in His essence, love mikol inun midot ihu klal. He is beyond these attributes. Now this is a quote from Tikkuni Zohar, part of the Zohar, in the introduction, and it's a part which many people say at Mincha time on Erev Shabbat. Sfadim have become custom to say it every single day. But Hasidim say it just Erev Shabbat. And it's a fascinating passage in the Zohar, and it's talking about the Sfirot. And it goes through it to list the Sfirot, the divine emanations. And it says God is completely beyond them. Antu chad velo b'chushban. You are one beyond counting. Va'ad she'atzmuto yitbarach, so much so that the essence of the divine, hu l'mayla gam mibchinat antu chad. The essence of the divine is even higher than that statement, you are one. She'lechein tzarich lamshich mechadash et kol ha'inyanim. And that's why we have to draw down anew everything. It's a renewal of everything. Everything comes down anew on Rosh Hashanah. I remember many years ago, that Rosh Hashanah, I was davening in a kind of Anglo-Jewish synagogue. And in front of me was standing a young man with a daughter aged about 10 or 11. And she's standing with her father, and it's Rosh Hashanah evening. And she's wearing a nice new dress, a white dress. And the father says to her, oh, you're wearing this nice new dress. And she says to him, yes, Daddy, Mommy told me I'm wearing a new dress and I'm a new girl. It was a very nice little moment. You know, there she is. She feels she's a new girl. It's Rosh Hashanah. She's a new person. Everything is new. And that's really what it is, this sense of newness. So that is, so if everything has to be renewed, now we come back to our question. On line 2 of page Chet, According to this Tzarich Lavin, we have to understand Mao Atam, what's the reason? Sheika Hitchatshud, that the main renewal, Ibisfirat HaMalchut Dafka, is in the attribute kingship. Now the Inyan is like this. Shebchinat HaMalchut, the quality of kingship, Hidei Gam La'achrei Amshachata, even after it is being drawn down and it's being revealed, as it were, Tzarich liyot ba'inyan hitchatshut. Even though it's there, it needs renewal because it needs constant renewal. Ve'inyan b'zeh kefi shemavoy b'maimas, it says in the discourse, that the quality of malchut has got two levels. One level is, and here we're talking about God's kingship. One level is, which is written in the prayers, the daily prayers, ha'melech hamromam levado me'oz. The exalted king who is completely alone for eternity. And that's the essence of kingship. Bechinat keter malchut, like the crown of the king. Absolutely beyond. Line 12, the dagash niyan, a second level. As it says, malchutcha malchut kol olamim. Your kingship is the kingship of all the world. The fact that God and the kingship of God becomes the source of all the worlds going down, Briya Yetzira Asiya, creation, formation, and action. They are like a separate created reality. So we got two aspects of kingship. One aspect of kingship is higher and higher and higher and higher. The king who is exalted and alone, utterly beyond. And the other aspect of kingship is the flow from kingship going down, down, down into the lowest levels of existence. Omnam, however, line 15. Gam la'achrei shebchinat ha'malchut nimshechet liyot mekol olamot. Even after the second stage, that the kingship flows down to be a source to all the different levels of the world, we still, mevakshimanu, we ask, meloch ala olam kulo bichvadecha. This is from the Rosh Hashanah prayers. We say, please God, rule over the whole world in your glory. Galei kvod malchutcha aleinu. Reveal the glory of your kingship over us. So that means, you see, we're balancing these two concepts. That means shegam ba'olamo b'riya yetzira asiya, that even in the lower worlds of creation, formation, and action, there should be yiyeh gilui b'chinat kvod malchuto yitbarach. That the glory of the kingship of God should be revealed, the way it is in that exalted aspect of kingship. So we got the two levels. Now, if we were in the real, I would be like drawing this. You know, there is a drawing facility in Zoom. Maybe let me try to use that. So we're on page Chet. We're on page Chet at line 18. So 18. So let's try and share a whiteboard and see if we can make this connection. Are you able to see the whiteboard?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Board, yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, so so one second. So we're going to write over here, exalted king beyond everything, right? And then down here are created worlds. So they're different levels. There's creation, formation, action. Really, I should be giving more space. Let's see if I can give more space. Right, so there are the created worlds below. So what it's saying is that there are two aspects of kingship. There's the exalted king beyond everything, and there's coming down into the created worlds. Now, the bottom of the created world is our world, right? Our physical world down here. So there are two sides to kingship. The fact that the king, God, the king, is exalted beyond everything, Melech HaMerumam, the king who is exalted beyond everything, and there's also this flow downwards into existence. One second, let's see if I can draw it. Right, so there is this flow down into existence coming from that exalted king beyond everything. So what the discourse is saying at this point is that even when we are at the level of these created worlds down here, what? Nonetheless, there's the sense of the exalted king beyond everything, that even when we're down here in our world, we can sense the exalted king who is absolutely beyond. So those are the two aspects of kingship. Kingship that's beyond, and kingship which comes down and is the source of life for everything in existence. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah, can you follow? Okay, so let's go back to the text of the discourse. So here we are, and we were on page 8, and we were on page line 18. Hainu, this means that also in those lower worlds, there should be the revelation of God's glory, the way it is at the highest level. Vezeo, so line 21. Vezeo inyan hitchadshut. That is the idea of the renewal. Shavarosh Hashanah, which is on Rosh Hashanah, Shetiyam Shacham Mimekor Sfirat HaMalchut, that there should be a flow from the source of the Sfira, of the attribute kingship, Shenikret Keter Malchut, which is called the crown of kingship. And as it explains in a famous discourse about blowing the shofar, now page 10, line 2, Shebarosh Hashanah, what happens on Rosh Hashanah? Tzarich lechadesh pinat ha-malchut mimekora ha-rishon. The quality of kingship has to be renewed from its very original source, the highest source. Shehu pinat atzmiut korach ha-ta'anuk. And that highest source, we're going to come to a surprising concept, is the essence of the power of delight. Ta'anug, delight, infinite divine delight.
Tell me, why does the kingship have to be renewed? For what reason? Why does it have to be renewed? I don't understand why the kingship has to be renewed.
Okay, I hear your question. Now, this is how it explains it in this other discourse to that he's referring to here. He gives a kind of very, what you might call a mundane image, a very worldly image. He gives the image of a worker. A person is working. And when a person is working, you know, day in, day night, day out, you know, you get up, you go to work, you do whatever you're supposed to be doing. Why are you doing it? It gets boring. It doesn't have meaning. But then you think why you're doing it. You go back, as it were, to the source of why you're doing it, the whole meaning. You know, let's say you're a teacher. So teaching can be a terrible strain. You know, there's all kinds of practicalities. And then you have like a get together of a whole lot of teachers and some inspiring teacher and a speaker, and they show a PowerPoint about, you know, what kind of positive effect you can have on a pupil and this kind of thing and that kind of thing. And you come out a little bit rejuvenated. Why am I a teacher? Or whatever job you're doing. Could be any kind of job. A journalist. you know, every so often you think, you know, why am I doing this? And something or other gives you what we call a chizuk, you know, strengthens you. So in a very striking way, this discourse by the Mittler Rebbe, by the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, he presents this, that God's work of creation is called work. And on Shabbat in the Kiddush, we say God rested from all his work. So in the process of work, what's the meaning in the work? Of course, you know, we can't apply these human terms to God, but it's as if for the sparkle to remain in existence, you see, the point is the world is only there for us. God didn't need a world without human beings. The point of the world is that human beings should appreciate the world and godliness through the world. So the whole idea that God should keep this world in existence, why is he keeping it in existence? And in a sense, this is the din v'cheshbon as well. This is the judgment. If we relate to the whole thing and we can see the excitement that is there, then in fact a new flow comes down from a very, very exalted level, which it's all triggered off by us in a very mysterious way. So I'm not sure if that's helped understand it, because what I've simply done is quoted from another discourse and it might raise more questions. But the idea that existence somehow is an interaction between us and the divine, and that process of renewal and excitement and enthusiasm and delight is a crucial element in the whole existence of the world.
So Tali, just to be clear, the way I understand it is that not necessarily does Hashem has to renew his, royalty, kingship. It's more that we have to renew our relationship with God.
I think that's a good way of putting it, because the kingship of God is in relation to us. Without us, there wouldn't be the kingship of God. There would just be the infinite oneness of God and nothing else. You can't be a king all by yourself. And in Hasidic teachings, it says you can't even be a king if someone had a large family. You can't be a king over a family. All you can be is a father or a grandfather. To be a king, you need a people who are a little bit separate. And then you can be a king over them. So there's a sense in which our relationship with God, not as Avinu, our father, but as Malkeinu, our king.
Right.
So that relationship is very important, so that there should be a universe with us in it and God, and that whole thing is being renewed on Rosh Hashanah.
Right. Thank you.
Right, thank you. Thanks for making that point. Now, let's just see how we're getting on for time. I think we're going to miss out a little bit. We're going to go to section Gimel. Umamshech ba'mayma. It continues in the discourse. So this section Gimel is on page Yud, and it's line 8. He continues in the discourse. V'hine ha-Torah nidreshet b'derech klal ufrat. One can explain the Torah in the way of a general principle and a detail. Shekamo she-b'Rosh Hashanah, the same way that Rosh Hashanah hu idchadshut b'derech klal. Rosh Hashanah is the renewal, like in a general way, for the whole year. כמו כן, סימילי, בכל יום, every single day, יש התחדשות בדרך פרט. There is renewal in the way of the detail. וכמו שכתוב, as it says, ובטובו מחדש בכל יום תמיד, by his goodness he renews every day, always, מעשה בראשית, the work of creation. Right, Mr. Brackets, line 17. ועל פי זה צריך להבין, now, according to this, we have to understand, מה התחדשות בראש השנה יותר מבכל יום? What's special about Rosh Hashanah compared with every day? If you're saying that every single day there's a renewal from God, so that's very nice, and we'll have this relationship with God, so what's special about Rosh Hashanah? So we're going to go on to line 23. Umavaya b'maimah, it explains in the discourse as follows, Shelahavin zeh, in order to understand this point, what's the difference between Rosh Hashanah and every day, if we're saying every day God is renewing creation? I mean, let's just pause on that for a moment. It's an incredibly beautiful idea that every day creation is renewed. We wake up in the morning, it's a new day, it's a new world, it's phenomenal. And that is a tremendously encouraging thought. You know, all the problems. we go to sleep at night very often, we're leaving behind us a whole, you know, what they call a can of worms, you know, a whole lot of problems about this and the problems about that. But God creates anew the world, and then and the morning it's a new world and there are new possibilities and anything could happen. And, you know, trach gut wird sein gut, think good and it'll be good. So you look at it in a wonderful, positive way. So if that's the case every single day, what's special about Rosh Hashanah? So he explains this in a very, what I think is a very, very beautiful way. And so here we have this explanation. Umavai b'maima explains that in the discourse. Shelahavin zeh, to understand this. Tzarech lahavin maima rabotenu zal, we have to understand something the sages say in the Talmud. The Talmud is discussing the saying of the Shema. Now, there are three paragraphs of the Shema. It's written in the Siddur, in the prayer book. And the first paragraph is Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then it goes on, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul in a very beautiful way, a few lines. And then there's another paragraph, which in a way is more conditional. It will be, if you listen to God, everything good will happen. But if, God forbid, you don't listen to God, then a lot of problems will happen. So that's the first two paragraphs of the Shema, which is what we're discussing. At this point, we're not talking about the third paragraph. So the sages ask, why do we have, first of all, the first paragraph, and then the second paragraph? They're like quite different. First of all, we have Shema, and then we have, it'll be if you listen. And it gives an answer. In order we should receive on ourselves the kingship of heaven first, after that we receive on ourselves the yoke of the commandments of the Torah. Now the Rebbe asks a question about this famous Talmudic passage. Surely when we are accepting doing the mitzvah, you see in the second paragraph it stresses, if we do the mitzvah will be good, and if not it won't be good. So if we're doing the mitzvah, surely we are accepting the kingship of God who's giving us the mitzvah. Miss out the brackets. So why do we divide it in two? Why do we say the first paragraph is accepting God's kingship, the kingship of heaven, and after that, the yoke of the commandment? And he explains, this is Rav Shmuel explaining in the discourse. He explains, now in the book of Ezekiel, Yechezkel, there's a stunning image, in chapter one, which is called the Merkavah. It's a very, very spiritual thing. It's a kind of a vision of angels. And it says about those angels, they are moving upwards and coming back, moving upwards and coming back. Ratzor v'shov. Sometimes the word ebb and flow is used like the tide coming in. It comes in and then goes back, comes in, then goes back, you know, the waves coming in. But here we're talking about upwards, you know, it's upwards towards God and then coming back. Now this life force of the radiance of the infinite has got this quality of flowing up and coming back. And because of that, we've also got that quality inside us. We also flow towards the divine and come back. And similarly in our souls, that we also serve God in such a way, we reach upwards and then we come back. And it explains, that's the idea of accepting the kingship of heaven. The kingship of heaven is when we soar upwards. That is the first paragraph of the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. When we say these words, we are reaching upwards to the divine, far, far, far beyond the world. And then when we say the second paragraph, that's the movement back into the world. It will be, if you listen properly to God's laws and you keep them properly. So there we are in the world. So that's the two steps that we have, the going up and the coming down back into the world. Now that is basically, that is what Rosh Hashanah is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm gonna move up to here on line 23 on page Yud Bet. And according to this, we can understand the difference in the renewal of kingship on Rosh Hashanah and the way it's renewed every day. The renewal of the kingship on Rosh Hashanah is the Avodah, where we are soaring upwards, reaching upwards to the divine. And there we can feel the source, where just be absorbed in the oneness of God. It's the most incredible thing. Like you're there, Rosh Hashanah, saying the prayers, and on Sunday there'll be the shofar. Hopefully you'll be able to hear it at some point, like soaring upwards to the divine. And that very exalted source that with the infinite delight beyond. And then from that comes the renewal, which is every day, where every single day we have a relationship with God. And in fact, when we say the Shema in our prayers, we can have this feeling of soaring up. But, you know, it's for a few seconds. Whereas on Rosh Hashanah, like we're there in the synagogue, if we manage to be there, or if we're saying the prayers at home, we are able to feel this intensity in a very, very prolonged way, if we can keep focused on it. That's and feel this sense of soaring upwards to the divine and reaching this very exalted level. And so that is the reason why we say Atem Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah, because here it is, we've got this tremendous spiritual power. We're empowered by God to reach up to God in this wonderful way and draw down this flow from godliness into the world. This is what is happening this Shabbat. In this Pasha, you are standing before God, empowered before God, unified before God, in order to reach upwards in this incredible way and draw down a year full of blessing for each one of you, each one of us, and for everyone in the whole Jewish people, and bring healing for the whole world and goodness in the whole of creation.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, are there any comments? Any comments?
Holly?
Yeah.
Yeah, if every day, every second, every moment, we're all being recreated or being created, on Rosh Hashanah, what happens on that day when we're being created and recreated?
I think there, it's like the Klal or Prat concepts, the general and the particular. So on Rosh Hashanah, where we're entering the general dimension, so the detailed dimension is even more. So, you know, I mean, there you see, it's as if you're seeing more tangibly. It's a new world. Everything is new. It's a matter of training our eyes. The idea of a discourse like this is to train one's eyes to see beyond the appearance of the world and see that it's really being renewed in an incredible way.
Can you say
as a person, you would feel yourself today on Rosh Hashanah, I'm not just being recreated, but far more depth, like the klal and the pratim. Like you should have in mind, you know, he's renewing my mind, my body, my soul, my everything, like no other day, like no other plain day. There's something far deeper going on there. And like you said before, your friend, if we're joyous and realize that's happening, we should be dancing.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's not exactly dancing, but it is that. It's that renewal. Yeah, Gloria?
I wanted to ask you something about the Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah, which is called the Shabbat Teshuvah. Is that right?
That's the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's the Shabbat after Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, right. Can you say something about that?
Well, once we've had Rosh Hashanah, we then move step by step towards Yom Kippur. Now, Rosh Hashanah is this day of renewal. And that's a very beautiful thing. And there's new life force coming into the world. But then there's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day of purification. We come so close to the divine that anything that might have been negative is washed away or is transformed into something positive. So the Shabbat Shuvah, which is in the middle, that is the Shabbat when the reading from the Torah, the Haftorah, is about repentance. And so it's called the Shabbat of repentance or the Shabbat of return. Hopefully next week we will have another session, and that will be just before Rosh Hashanah, and maybe after Rosh Hashanah we'll have another session before Shabbat Shuvah. So I think we have the Tuesdays clear, and we're able to have these little study sessions.
Thank you, Tali.
Okay, I wish everyone a very nice evening and or night. And anyone who needs a refuah shleima should have a refuah shleima.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Tanya.
Thank
you
very much.
All the very best.
Thank you.
All the very best. Bye-bye.
Bye. Goodbye.